It is such a blessing to see everyone here this morning, and a blessing to it is a blessing to be worshiping with some of our extended family this morning too. Brock has the fourth Sunday lesson this coming month, and I think that he is here just gathering information on the needs that need to be addressed for his for his next lesson. But probably don't have to worry; it's probably just poor decision making in preachers or something like that. So we're gonna be in Jeremiah chapter 23 this morning. Jeremiah 23. And if you'd like to stick a marker in there or stick your finger in there, we're also going to be a little bit in Ezekiel chapter 34 this morning as well. But we're going to begin in Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. Jeremiah says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord." God holds shepherds accountable for the sheep. Now, obviously, God is here not angry about furry animals that are out on pasture, but he says that he is angry about his people. His people have been failed by their shepherds. Shepherds representing those who lead them. And I think that you could put a lot of titles within this category. The prophets, at least the false ones, priests, kings, elders. Back in the chapter before this, in Jeremiah 22, Jeremiah does, in fact, talk about the kings and some of the things that we're seeing with them. He's going to talk about prophets later on in this chapter, in Jeremiah chapter 23. All of these leaders have made God angry. And part of the reason why, God says that they have scattered his flock. And I believe that we're talking far more here than safety, food, water. All these things are important when it comes to leaders, especially for a king to provide to their people. But they have driven the people away from the provider of these things. Those that are leading Israel have driven God's people away from him. They have driven them away from God. And in this, they have also taken advantage of the people. We see within this similar passage, Ezekiel 34 and verse 1, we read, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for a lack of a shepherd. And they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth. And there was no one to search or to seek for them." We see here that there is no care for the good of the people. There is no concern for the people. There is no love for the people. A good shepherd takes care of his sheep. And we could be talking about elders of a congregation. We could talk about a leader of a nation. We could talk about the president of the United States. We could be talking about parents who are leading their children. If a people are suffering, if our charge is suffering, and the leader is not trying to remedy the situation, then what kind of leader are they? And again, we're talking more about food and more about water and more than about security. Obviously, the leader of a nation wants to provide that for their people. Obviously, we as parents want to provide that for our children. But again, I ask, who is the giver of these things? If we are not leading towards God, then we are failing as leaders. And those failing leaders, these that we're talking about here in Jeremiah 23, are scattering from God. And so God says that he is going to replace them. And he says this, Jeremiah 23 and verse 3, "Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture. And they will be fruitful and they will multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. God says he is going to raise shepherds for his people. And obviously, when God says this, he is looking forward in time. He says, I'm going to raise shepherds for them. And within historical context, we could be talking about men like Ezra and Nehemiah, who are going to come and be these shepherds of the people as they were coming out of captivity. But I think because of what we're going to see later on in the passage, that we're looking even further into time. And that we possibly could be looking at the apostles here, of whom Peter, when Jesus was speaking to, said to him in John 21 and verse 16, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. Could be looking forward to the elders that these apostles were going to put over the congregations, the elders that we have now. I think both are correct. Both are men who love sheep, care for the sheep, take care of the sheep like these never did that we're reading about. But one of the most wonderful things that we see in here is that God is going to replace them. God says, again in Ezekiel 34 in verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. And I will feed them in good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel, and they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. And praise God for that. This is good news. It's also kind of bad news in a way. It's good news. Obviously, you see that it's good news. Because God is saying that he is going to show again that he is the greatest leader that mankind could ever ask for, the greatest king that mankind could ever ask for, the greatest God that mankind could ever ask for. The bad thing is that people are still not going to follow him. And he doesn't say that within this passage, but we understand that and know that in witnessing all of human history from before this time until now. It has always been that way. As far as kings go, we look back in the history of Israel, and we could say that Israel, they did not elect their leaders. We see, at least in the southern kingdom in Judah, that the descendants of David, one king raised after another, and it was just the descendants of David in Israel. Just kind of a scattering of different houses. You had a king assassinating another. And so in that regard, they did not hold election every 4 years or anything like that for their leaders. But they did choose to have it this way. From the time that they said in 1 Samuel 8 and verse 5, now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations. When they did that, they chose a physical leader instead of choosing God. And it still continued after that point. I mean, what we have seen, obviously here in Jeremiah 23, that these shepherds that are leading the people are given a pretty bad example. And they're leading the people astray. But the people are also choosing to follow them, which is a bad thing. We see back in Jeremiah 9 in verse 1, Jeremiah says, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go away from them. Why? For all of them are adulterers. Nobody forces them to be that way. They are an assembly of treacherous men. Nobody forces them to be that way. They bend their tongue like the bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Even when a leader was leading them astray, and the leaders were leading them astray, no doubt about it, they could have decided to be different. They still had an opportunity to follow the leader that they have continually and continually turned away from, God. So, we read in Ezekiel 34 and verse 17, God has already talked about the shepherds. Now he says, as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another. between the rams and the male goats. God holds the shepherds accountable for the sheep. He holds the sheep responsible for the sheep as well. They could not control what they were being taught. They could not control what their leaders were doing, but they could choose what they did and who it was that they were going to follow. We choose who we're going to follow. There's a lot of leaders in this world. I mean, take a look at the social influence in this world, social media, political leaders, the desires of our own heart. There are a lot of leaders in this world that really will lead us astray, leading us to different paths like how we view marriage, how we view men and women, how we view all these things that God already has a plan for. All these leaders of this world, it may, again, just be our own understanding, teach us that you don't truly have to commit to marriage. Or things like, you know, that a screen is the same thing, like interaction with a person. Or things like you can hate somebody because they think differently than you. And I'm talking about hating somebody. Obviously, we hate evil, but we don't hate people. And I say truly hate, because again, how the world is defining hate, and I mean, they're defining love as hate in a lot of cases. They teach that it is better to show skin than to show kindness and love and mercy and compassion and godliness and holiness. They teach that animals are better than children, and having animals are more important than children. And when you do have children, that you cannot discipline them or have expectations of them. They teach that God does not have special intentions for a man and a woman, and that He does not have special intentions for marriage, which is between a man and a woman. They teach that we should be more interested in this physical life, that we are only here for that amount of time, than for eternity, where we will be gone for eternity, or where we will be for eternity. These are all problems, because they scatter us from God and what He teaches. And you look at, you think about a pasture full of sheep that have security, that have food, that have water. What do you think they are? Probably pretty peaceful. We live in an anxious, in a hostile, very lacking peace world. And it's because we are sheep with terrible shepherds. And maybe we follow that, probably a lot of us don't, but we can resign ourselves to their leadership. And what I mean in that is we allow them to have control of us and to take from us what they have absolutely no right or ability of their own to take. And that is our zeal of God, our hope in God. They cannot take that away from us. David, he had enemies, he had worries, he had anxiousness, but he did not give up and he did not submit to this. He said, God will be my salvation. Psalm 3 in verse 1, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising against me, and many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But David says, no, but this, you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and He answered me from His holy mountain, Selah. I lay down, and I slept, and I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. David is not disappointed in his life, and not just that he will not be disappointed in his life, he is not at this moment. Does that sound like your life this morning? David is not fearful or anxious in his life. Does that sound like your life this morning? David puts his faith in God as shepherd over his soul. Does that sound like your life this morning? Because God gives us the opportunity to have that kind of life. And He does so in an incredible way. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, God says, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. God is saying He's going to raise up a shepherd, and that this shepherd is going to be from the lineage of David, that this shepherd is going to be a good king in justice and righteousness, that in this shepherd all people will be secure. And Jesus says in John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Do we know that we need that? Do we know that we need a Savior? Think about these sheep that we read about in Jeremiah 23. Think about how they're being treated. Think about that. They needed a good shepherd. I don't know that they realized that. And really, why I believe that they didn't realize that is I look at how they themselves had fallen, and they were content at the time. They were content with their mistreatment. They were content with the poor example that they were given by their leaders. They were content with the lack that they had in their lives, and they looked at their lives without peace, without joy, without love, as bleak and hopeless as that is, and they were content with that. And so we don't need anything. We don't need a Savior. We don't need to be saved. We need a Savior. And that is true for every single one of us. We sin. We fall short. We are perishing. We are going to be judged at the end of our lives. And while we wait for that judgment, we live in anxiousness. We live in worry. We live in a lack of peace. We can only be saved through Christ. We need a Savior. And Savior is a powerful word. And it's a very meaningful word. I mean, if Jesus Christ is our Savior, He is not in some box that we just put aside on a Sunday morning, and He's just reserved there just for that time of that day or that week, and then the rest of our week is just completely separate from Him. And that our speech is separate from Him the rest of our lives, that our thinking is separate from Him, that our life is separate from Him. Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Christ is our life. Which means that if Christ is not a part of our life, then we are dead. Which means that if Christ is in one part of a day, in one hour of a part of a day of our life, then we are dead six other days of the week, which I am not a doctor, but I would say we're dead at that point. But Jesus says this, John 10 and verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I came that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We will not find life without Christ. We will not have life without Christ. But the wonderful thing is that Christ is more than willing to give us life and to give us life in abundance. It is hard for us to even fathom the great blessing of Christ Jesus in our lives. And this next passage in Jeremiah 23, I think really points to that for me. Jeremiah 23 and verse 7, therefore behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they will no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led back the descendants of the household of Israel from the north land and from all the countries where I had driven them, then they will live on their own soil. God here through Jeremiah begins by talking about the Exodus. Like the Exodus. Think about that. Like the Exodus of the plagues. The Exodus where Egypt, who had been lord over a nation, is throwing their own stuff at them, trying to get them away. The Exodus where they are crossing sea on dry land. And what God is pointing out is, I am going to be known for something greater even than that. That's hard to imagine. Think about how hard that would be to imagine if you were an Israelite. And God could be in this passage, you know, talking about the return of the exiles during that period when they came out of Babylon. But you know, I ask, is God known for that now? I believe that what is being referred to is the time when God took 3,000 Israelites from Parthia and Mede and Elam and Mesopotamia and Judah and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the districts of Libya and around Cyrene and the visitors from Rome, all those Israelites that he gathered on the day of Pentecost. And where did he bring them? Into his kingdom, the true kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Acts 2 and verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls, and it did not stop there, praise God. We read, and there was more that was added to that, but we also read that not all Israel is descended from physical Israel in Romans 9 and verse 6. And since then, God has brought his people, his true people, out of Thessalonica, out of Ethiopia, out of Europe, out of America, even you and me here today in Happy Texas, and he has brought us into his eternal kingdom. The true God is known for the establishment of his church through Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, let me ask you this question this morning. How would your life be different if you had gone through the Exodus? How would your life be different if you witnessed the 10 miraculous plagues? How would your life be different if you went through water on dry land? And the reason why I'm asking you that is every time we see someone go into this water in faith in Christ Jesus, we see something that is greater. We see access to the blood of the Son of God that cleanses somebody, that washes them of their past, that brings them into his eternal kingdom. We're seeing somebody that is on a path that has eternal ramifications. And that has happened to you this morning. So many of you, if we have been a part of that something that is greater. And obviously that means if we have put on Christ, if we have turned our lives over to Christ. But there is also a lot of people back then that were part of that Exodus that were not a part of that Exodus. In fact, I would say the majority fell into that category. What I mean by that is their bodies passed through the water, but their minds stayed back in Egypt. And they kept thinking about the things in Egypt. And they kept wanting to be back in Egypt. And they left their faith all the way back in Egypt. They never did bring their minds forward and put it on God and in his promised land and for us in his eternal kingdom. We were different before putting on Christ. Before we put on Christ, we did not go to worship. Or if we did, our hearts were not in it. We didn't want to be there. We had no desire, nor did we have any reason to be. We worried, we fretted, and devoted ourselves to the physical things in this life. We thought about ourselves the majority of the time. But now we are different. And we are different because we have been given an exodus that is greater, an exodus from sin, and an entrance into his eternal kingdom. We have a leader that is greater than Moses, and we have a life that is greater than we could ever could have ever possibly imagined. Who are we going to follow with that life? What are we going to follow with our life? One of the saddest moments ever is when we read in the Bible that the people, God's people, said, "We want a king to be just like everyone else." It was a decision that led to what we read here in Jeremiah 23. It was a decision that really led, I think, also to what we see in Matthew 23, where Jesus says, "Woe to the Pharisees, you hypocrites." And really, this is just an example of what we have seen in mankind throughout the ages. We continue to choose the things that lead us away from God, but we can be different. The things of the world just pull us away from God, and it offers us pleasure, and they offer us happiness, they offer us peace, and in some strange form of hypocrisy. I don't even know if this is really hypocrisy, but when we look at what the world has, it is misery and depression and anger. But Jesus Christ is no hypocrite. Jesus teaches us to serve, and he served. Jesus teaches us to be holy. He was holy. Jesus teaches us to sacrifice. And think about what he sacrificed for us. And he achieved life so that he could lead us to life. And that's the wonderful thing about prophecies that we see within God's word. God uses prophecy to talk to his people back then, but he uses it to talk to us. He was speaking to Israel of the past, but he is speaking to you. Speaking to you this morning, Jesus Christ came to save you. You need a Savior. Jesus came to be that Savior. And I can tell you what that means. That means peace. That means joy. That means love. The love of God. I can't tell you what it means to you, though. But you will find out. I guarantee you. If you decide to take Him as your shepherd. And you will understand the security that Peter speaks about when he says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." Are you ready this morning to turn your life over to that good shepherd? The good shepherd has laid down his life for his sheep. And if you this morning realize your need for him to be your shepherd, please come forward. Put him on in baptism while we stand and as we sing.